I think because you did it again, you stepped on a little bit of my notes here, nothing major, but we'll get through. They'll tie in well together, I think. I'd like to be talking about responsibility today. Turn to Genesis, if you would, please. One of the outstanding and major characteristics and traits that God has is that of being responsible. Louder. With God being responsible, He is very dependable. He is probably the most responsible entity in the universe. No doubt about that. He is steady. He is controlled. Accountable. He is constant. He does not change. He's the same all the time. And He has already or will fulfill every promise that He's ever made. God is dependable. He is responsible. And with that in mind, in Genesis, the first chapter, let's look at verse 27. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. So we, man and woman, are created in the image of God. Now that is just a physical fact. But we are physical to start with, but that's not the end of the story. This whole life experience is designed to end that we are like God in His character. Not only in His physical image, but also in His spiritual image, which includes His being responsible, dependable. That is an obligation. That is part of the character trait that we also must be building. Now, God created mankind knowing they would fail in their obligations to maintain a holy and right relationship, a sinless life, like God Himself. But God, being the responsible God that He is also so dependable, so reliable, that He took it upon Himself to design and carry out a plan to redeem that creation that He has made and give Him a chance to redeem Himself through the sacrifice of His own Son. That's dependable. Sacrificing your own Son for the sake of those that you have created. All things were created by Jesus Christ, and He is the one that did the sacrifice. But God the Father was the plan all behind it. That sacrifice provides the means to wipe out all that guilt, all that sin, and redeem man to be something that can be entered into His family through the power of His Holy Spirit. So we have the chance, the obligation, to become like God, developing the character of God, the reliability of God, the dependability of God. But being physical as we are, that's a tall order. There are so many things against us and work against being responsible. And it's four things that I'm going to be talking about today that fall into that category. To look at the process we are going through right now, let's look at 1 John. Chapter 3 and verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. Coming out of this world, as we've heard in the first message. Destroying those works through the sacrifice. Redeeming those who have sinned and made it possible that they might be in God's family. We are to overcome the power of the devil, overcome the power of sin through the power of the Spirit, and we grow in grace. We grow in knowledge. We become more and more like God in handling responsibilities. Part of our obligation. That's a tall order. But it's a sincere obligation for every Christian. Now, being responsible by that, I mean that we are responsible for our own actions. We cannot be responsible for those others who are doing what they're doing. We are certainly responsible for our own actions. After being changed from physical to spiritual, then the obstacles that we have today that hinders responsibility will not be there. We will have the power, the mind, to be able to stop it so that it will sin will never happen again. Let's look at verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Now, when we're born of God, that means resurrected as a spirit entity. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Being as a spiritual entity, we will have the power, the mind, to put out and resist all sin. There won't be any sin anymore. That is God's eternal purpose. But until that happens, we've got to overcome this world. You know, today's world is so steeped in self-absorbing activities that deny the fact that we're supposed to be responsible people. It's lacking. Kids are taught in school that they can just go from one grade to the next. They really don't have to apply and overcome and excel. They're just automatically passed on to the next grade, knowing that there's nothing, just minimal effort is all that's needed. You don't have to strive at it. No one's going to hold them back. But in that very process, what's happening is these kids are growing up without a sense of responsibility. That very process holds them back from being responsible adults. You know, even our companies today have to be careful how they handle their employees, lest they get sued for something. Something simple. An employee will sue, and oftentimes, in fact, most times, win. Homeowners are sued just for trying to protect their own properties. The criminal isn't prosecuted in many cases, but the homeowner, if he does something wrong, boy, he's on the line right away. It's an upside-down world that we live in. But as a Christian, we do not have the leeway to be irresponsible. That's part of our calling. Yet, human nature being what it is, it's going to happen. A major indicator of responsibility, irresponsibility, is just not following through with obligations. This book is full of obligatory statements. And being a responsible person changes the work ethic of a person. It changes their very character and nature. We show up for work. We do the job that we've been hired to do. We don't steal from the company. We try to get along, make peace. Told what we're to do, and we do it. And just being responsible sometimes will make us a different person. There's challenges to just being responsible. That means we accept the reality of a situation. We accept the challenge that it's going to take to correct it, to follow through and do the right thing. And God does not give us instruction that we are not able to do and to follow. If you just take the word responsible, it's spelled with an I, responsible, but it, we say responsible. If you break that down into two words, it's response-able. We are able to respond. That's just being responsible. We are able to do what we've been told to do. If we don't, that's irresponsible. So today, I'm going to cover these four reasons that hinder our being successful, always, that being a responsible person. None of these are meant to be excuses. They are reasons. There's a big difference. And just by bringing them out, my hope is that we can be reminded of them and be on guard against them. The first one is why we're here today, as the first message brought out. To listen. Just to listen. The second one, I'll go through each point here later. The second one is that we procrastinate to do something even after we've been told to do it. That procrastination leads to the next one, and that's forgetting. We tend to forget. Got to watch against that. And the last one are distractions. Those four things will really hinder your ability and your efforts at trying to be responsible. And brethren, I speak as an authority on this, because I'm guilty of all four, and more than once. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Not the right way to be an authority, but I know what I'm talking about. Actually, the parables have a lot to say about this, too. Let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Starting with the first one about listening. Mark 4, let's pick it up in verse 21. And he said to them, Mark 4:21, does a lamp come to be put under a great, under, my nose is messed up there. Would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. Reading the wrong book here. Let me get to the King James Version here, Matthew, Mark. Mark 4, verse 21. Let's start again here. Mark 4:21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what it's all about. And then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Verse 25. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Listen. You know, in my younger days, I really didn't listen all that well. Because I thought I knew it all anyway. I didn't need to listen. Boy, was I wrong about that one. But I want to read that, those same verses out of this next different book, the New Literal Translation. Same verses. I think they spell it out a little bit more clearer. Verse 21. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away. Just to listen is important. And how we listen is important. There are reasons why we don't listen so well. But listening to instruction is the first part of being responsible. If you're not listening, you're not responsible. In a past job that I've had, it was my obligation to train new employees that would come in about the job that they were expected to be doing. You could tell who wasn't listening. They were scribbling, they were talking to each other. It was just obvious that they weren't paying attention. But when we don't pay attention, sooner or later, we're going to pay for not paying attention. When I check back on one later, these people just, they didn't have the fruits of doing a good job. And it's obvious. And for good reason. They weren't listening to the instructions they were being told. We must listen. I'm not saying that we're not. I'm just pointing out these are things. Listen. Be awake. Be aware. God tests us in similar ways. He gives instruction and inspiration through the Spirit at times, and then later He'll come back and see what we've done with what He told us to do. We've either done a good job and get a reward, or we weren't listening or half listening. God knows it. How we listen and how we retain what we have heard is affected by our motivation. Are we motivated to learn? Are we motivated to hear? Why are we here? We've heard that. Turn to Isaiah again, if you would please. We've listened, heard this before. Isaiah 66. But it fits very well with what I'm talking about here. The Bible explains what is the best motivation. Isaiah 66:1. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build me? Where is the place of my rest? All those things my hand has made. He says, I've already got those. It's not really that important to me. All those things exist, says the Eternal. But on this one, this is what's important to God. But on this one will I look, of him as who is poor, of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Now there's motivation for listening. If you're trembling at God's word, you're paying attention. It means something to you. We might be thinking we're doing a big, good job if we're building a house for God or something like that, but what's inside is most important to God. The word tremble in that verse is karadi. It means fearful, reverential, afraid, trembling. Should we be a bit reverent about God's word? Absolutely. And I'd like to explain why. Turn to the book of John, please. John tells us why we should revere God's word. John 12, verse 48. John 12, 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. This book, this group of words, is going to judge us. We need to pay attention and heed what this book says. We are responsible for what we know and what we've been taught. And we will be judged by the words in this book. But you know, we can listen and know what's required of us. But the next step, even after we know, sometimes we just put it off. We procrastinate. That's number two. We just put it off a little bit. Mañana, mañana, I'll get around to it. I can't do it right now. We'll just do it a little bit later so it gets shoved aside. Ever procrastinate about paying bills? Or tithes? You know, anything that's a little bit uncomfortable, demanding, might take a little bit longer to get it done. So we tend to procrastinate about these things. Have you ever procrastinated about putting antifreeze in your car before cold weather comes? Well, here comes my expertise here, because I was driving our Lumina the other week, last week ago, Thursday or Friday, and the power steering went out. Okay, usually that's the serpentine belt that broke. So I looked at it. Yeah, sure enough, the serpentine belt was broke. So I replaced the serpentine belt. And looking around, I always check everything else. And lo and behold, it was out of fluid. What in the world now? It was out of, the belt broke because the water pump froze up and burned the belt up. Well, the water pump froze up because it's out of water. It was out of water because the lower radiator hose had popped off. It had ice in it, swelled up and just popped off. Well, it had ice in it because I had procrastinated putting antifreeze in that car. One thing leads to another, and sooner or later we pay for not paying attention. It happens. That's the wrong way to gain experience about things, doing it the hard way, but it happens. But luckily, mercifully, you know, I just replaced the belt, refilled it with antifreeze, and that was the end of it. Thankfully, the water pump wasn't completely burned up. It's still going for now anyway. I was going to say a little bit more on this subject, but I waited till this morning to put it in, and then I didn't have time to do it. No, I didn't really, no. But that's what procrastination leads to. You fail on your job sometimes. You don't want to, but it happens. You put it off until it's too late, and then sooner or later you forget about it entirely, or in one way or another, the job doesn't get done. It's easier to put off something insignificant, minor things, it happens, don't worry about it. But oftentimes, important things get put off. Important things get forgotten. I don't always write down things that I need to do. I forget to write it down, and it might not get done. You know, we might have good intentions like Mr. Bean was talking about, what was it, a week or two ago? Good intentions. Yeah, they're good intentions, but unless the job gets done, it's not worth much. You know, that's true in the physical world, as we all know, but it's also true in the spiritual world. God repeatedly instructs us about things, goes over and over and over things. And this is where Mr. Keith stepped on my nose, talking about the Sabbath here. He's already been there, and that's good. He probably did a better job than I, but I'll just say the Sabbath is one of those things that we're supposed to remember. Don't forget the Sabbath. If we didn't keep the Sabbath every Sabbath, just once a month, we'd forget about it. Or once a year. Can't do that. Remember, don't put it off. Don't skip it, thinking we'll get to it later. No. Procrastination leads to forgetting things. That's important. When you're forgetting spiritual things, that's a big problem. Don't want to do that. But I want to spend some more time on the last one here. This is probably the most important area, and that is about distractions. Distractions, they're kind of a broader area where they happen. And distractions are a major problem because of our arch enemy. We live in a world that is controlled by him. And believe me, Satan can put things out there that cause distractions. He is able to just cause things to happen, and you better be on your toes to catch up and to stay on track. He can make things happen that throw us off track if we let him. Now, he doesn't have the power over us continually and always. We have God's Spirit and God's help in dealing with problems like this. And it's our responsibility to stay on track. But it happens. Sometimes the job isn't done the way it should, or it's done late, or not the way it should have been done had you started earlier, whatever. Distractions. Sometimes we just have too many things to do. Too many distractions. Too many things on the fire. Overloaded. And something slips by without being done. Or just being in a hurry, you don't have time to do it. Distracted because of something. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Matthew relates a time here when Christ was asked about end time events. Luke 21. Luke 21, we're going to start with verse 7. Luke 21, verse 7. So they, being the disciples, asked him, being Jesus, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" Then what he says here later on, when he answers that specific thing, let's drop down to verse 28. And he says in verse 28, Luke 21, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." We're getting close to the end time here when this happens. Verse 29, "And he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." I'll just stop there for a minute. He was talking to that generation, and he meant what he said. But he meant it in the point that talking to those people back then, it was to the extent that these conditions were true as long as they lived. This was their time. If they were going to know and learn and be called, this was their chance. So it was to that generation as well that he was speaking. But they were responsible while they yet lived. When these things will be happening, those who will be living during those days, it even applies even more, because now we're going to be living through it. Notice verse 33. Here he is really putting some emphasis on what he just said. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." He was telling them, you better be listening to what I'm saying. He's putting emphasis on that. What he just said, and the next verse as well. Verse 34. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day comes on you unexpectedly." Does that kind of ring a bell about distractions? Things coming upon you unexpectedly? Now, surfeiting, this word surfeiting is in there. And that just simply means overindulgence, usually in food or drink, Over-concerned about the self is usually what causes this. And the cares of this life, it can be a big distraction. Where's our focus? What's important to us? What do we put first? Distractions. People are focused on making money, on keeping the latest trends, fashion, movies, football, whatever. The cares of this world. And not giving attention, needed attention to the spiritual matters. I have to watch myself getting overly concerned about things that pertain to this life. We have to be responsible in the physical world, but paying attention to the spiritual things are most important. And that's where we get distracted from. And Satan is right there to help us with it. Need to give diligent heed to the spiritual things and not this physical world distract us from the things that are important. It's easy to overeat or have excuses to do that. It kind of takes the weight off. It can be an escape that we use to not face the realities that we're in, whatever. There's a whole bunch of stuff behind that, but just be aware not to be distracted. And Christ is warning us here, take heed to yourselves that your hearts not be weighed down with the cares of this life. It can happen. To the extent that we become so engrossed that we are unaware of the judgment to come. Wow, can that really happen that we would live in the times and not be aware it's happening? Well, these are God's words, not mine. He says this can happen. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 10. Talking more about the same subject and where that leads to. Matthew 10. I'll start in verse 38. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I really like what Barnes' commentary had to say about this, on this verse. Quoting from him in Barnes' commentary, the word life in this passage is used evidently in two senses. The meaning may be expressed thusly, he that is anxious to save his temporal life or his comfort and security here shall lose eternal life or shall fail of heaven. He that is willing to risk or lose his comfort and life here for my sake shall find life everlasting or shall be saved. End of quote. It's risky business to take the easy way out. Sometimes we can do that, but as a general rule, don't take the easy way out. Ask God for the strength, for the help to fight through it, to be the responsible people that we have to be. And when people think that, well, this can't happen to me, I'm not going to forget Christ's coming, I'm going to see it happening. But you know, that mind, that is the very attitude that would allow it to happen. Because if you think it can't happen, then you're not watching out for it. You're not listening. You're not heeding. You're liable to forget. You're liable to put it off, procrastinate, not be doing the things on a daily basis that we need to do to stay sharp. In many ways, we are responsible for our own salvation. And just by bringing awareness to you, I just hope that you can remember these things. Don't forget. Don't procrastinate. Don't allow yourself to be distracted from the goals, spiritual goals that we have. Stay on track. Stay true. Listen to instruction. is there. That's why we're here. This is the Sabbath, to give that fellowship, to give that instruction, so that we heed, so that we know what we're doing. We dare not procrastinate or forget our spiritual obligations. You know, God is there, eager to help each and every one of us through any trial, through any problems that we are having. We just have to look to God and rely on Him to give us the help that we need. Because we are to become like Him. That's what He wants. Ask Him for the help to give us to be like Him. Now, you can't turn down that prayer. That's what He wants. He wants to give us that character and help us to be the reliable, the dependable, the responsible people just like Him. That's the plan, to be like Him. We are to become God in every way, including being responsible. Being responsible with the physical now helps us to be responsible with the spiritual later. And develop the character of God Himself and be there as being part of His family.